This is the Sunday Worship Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Sunday Worship. My name is Sam Davidson and it's great to join with you today. Our speaker today is Linda Bywater, our very own morning wake-up show host here on Salvationist Radio. Linda will be talking about making a habit of kindness in our Lent teaching series. On this Mothering Sunday, we also want to give thanks for the kindness we've been shown in our lives by a mother, by other caregivers, by friends and colleagues, by our church family, and of course, by God. Shall we pray? Lord, today we come to you and thank you for the mothers in our lives. We thank you for the care and love that they have shown to us throughout the years. We thank you that they give us an example of your love and encourage us to love those around us. Today we come to you and thank you for those who have showed us maternal love throughout our lives. For the aunties, the teachers, the stepmothers, the foster mothers, the friends, and the church community. We thank you for the way they have taught us more about you and how they have helped form us. Help us to show these attributes in our own lives. Today we thank you for the many mums in our church. We know that being a mum is hard work and can be messy physically, emotionally and spiritually. Lord, we pray that you will bless them today and send people to surround them with your great love. Today we also acknowledge that Mother's Day isn't easy for everyone, that this special day can come with a mix of pain, grief and longing. We pray for those who miss their mothers, those who miss their children and those who are longing to be a mother. We pray that today they will feel your love in the love and care of the people around them. And Lord, we thank you for your love. And that one way you choose to show us love is through the love around us. Help us to love others generously in all that we do. Amen. Our Bible reading today is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 25 to 37, the parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise."
Hello there. My name's Lyndall Bywater and I work with the prayer team at THQ, if you don't already know me. I also present the Sunday wake-up show on Salvationist Radio on a Sunday morning. My apologies, I'm a little bit croaky from a cold, but I hope that we can croak through together a few minutes thinking about the subject of kindness. It's our Lent theme for this Sunday. If you haven't sort of caught up with the Lent themes yet, it might help if I give a bit of background. On the 7th of January, we had our Covenant Sunday, and we looked together at a passage in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10, thinking about our faithful response to God's faithfulness to us, if you get what I mean. Our faithful response to God's faithfulness towards us. God is faithful to us. How can we live faithfully in response to God? And there were four things that we drew out of that. One was a habit of prayer, one was a habit of hope, one was a habit of kindness, and one was a habit of unity. We've been working through those in a bit more detail during Lent, and this week we think about kindness. Not inappropriate, I would say, on Mothering Sunday. And I pause there because for some of us, our mums are the kindest people we've ever known. And that is a beautiful thing. If that's you, and that is certainly me, would you give thanks for the love of a mother that was kind? But for some of us, we either haven't had a mother or we haven't had a mother who was kind. And we pause and remember today, we stand with you today, if your experience of motherhood has not been one of kindness. The kindness of God is wonderful, lavish, generous, eternal, abundant. And all of us, whether our experience of motherhood has been, the motherhood we've received, has been positive or negative, we lean together in these moments into the endless kindness of God. And we're thinking about a story in the Gospel of Luke. It's the story of the Good Samaritan, a famous old story, actually, and it's Luke 10, verses 25 to 37. And the story is of a man travelling along a road. The road was from Jericho to Jerusalem, or Jerusalem to Jericho, depending on which way you were going. And it was known in those days as the Way of Blood. The Way of Blood. Why? Well, because of the number of people that got attacked on it. It was a difficult road. It was a very steep hill. It was a difficult road and a deserted place. And if you were the sort of person who might want to ambush somebody or rob somebody, that would be a place you might choose. And so it wasn't a safe place to be. And a man was walking the road and he was attacked. And the story is not really about the attack, it's about what happens next. And it's a story all about kindness. There are three people who walk past the man. A priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan. Important to know, priests, well, they were the religious ones, the ones, the some of the most important people in society. They were, if you like, they were the political leaders, but they were also the spiritual leaders. So they were very influential indeed. Excuse me. And then there was the Levite. The Levite would have been a worker in the temple. So he might have been, if we're thinking Salvation Army parlance, he might have been a local officer. He might have been somebody with an important job in the church, as it were, or the Jewish equivalent of that. And then there was the Samaritan. The Samaritan, as far as the Jews were concerned, got everything wrong. They were out of line spiritually, politically, religiously, morally, etc. And so Samaria had become a place you didn't go and you didn't interact with Samaritans unless you really had to. So it's there's no doubt here who the baddie was in this story. And Jesus tells this story and everybody listening would have been, priests, Levites, oh, good fellows. And then the Samaritan, ho-ho, he's a wrong'un. But it doesn't pan out that way, does it? It doesn't pan out that way because the Samaritan is the only one who shows kindness. And he does that in three ways that I find helpful to reflect on for my own journey of learning to be kind. And it is a learning process in my life, as I'm sure it is in yours too. The first thing he does is he stops. Do you know what? I was somewhere the other day and there was a situation, and I can't remember the details now, but somebody needed something. And it was something that I had the answer to, something that I could have been helpful in. But I was in a rush, wasn't I? I was in a rush because I always leave too late for everything. So it was my own fault that I was in a rush. And I was in a rush. And I actually thought twice and three times about whether to go back and say, actually, I can help with that. And in the end, you'll all be pleased to know I did go back. But it was, I'm slightly ashamed of how hard it was to make that decision for me to go back. Sometimes the way we express our kindness is to stop, is to break the careening rush of our lives and say, I am going to take time here for you. I don't know where the Samaritan was going. I don't know if he was in a rush, but it didn't matter. He stopped. He took time. He tended the man's wounds. He took him on his donkey to a safe place. And he even went back to that safe place later to check that he was okay. He stopped. Kindness doesn't happen on the fly. It happens when we take time to notice and respond to the needs around us. The second thing the Samaritan did was he touched the man who'd been attacked. Now, that might seem incidental to you and me. That might seem, well, of course he did. Of course he did that. You know, I mean, you had to do that, didn't you, to tend the wounds? Well, actually, no, you didn't have to do that. And the priest and the Levite would not do that. Why? Because the man who'd been attacked, it says clearly as in Jesus' telling of the story that he'd been left for dead. That means it looked like he was dead. And in the Jewish religion, to touch a dead body made you ritually unclean. These were men of the temple. They were going to the holy place. They were going to the place where they needed to be ritually clean. And so they wouldn't touch the man. That's what we assume anyway. That's what the story infers for us. They wouldn't break the rules. And this is really interesting because whose rules were they? They were God's rules, weren't they? They were God's rules. It was God that had told Moses there will be some purity laws that you will need to stick to. Going to the temple will involve being ritually clean. Those weren't man's rules, they were God's rules. But Jesus seems to be saying here, you've got to be a bit careful with rules, even the rules that were originally perhaps God-given, because you can apply them in a way that breaks an even more important rule, in a way that breaks the rule of loving your neighbour. That's what this story is about. I was at the Belonging and Believing weekend last weekend. So there was a gathering of more than 200 people to think, pray, worship together around the theme of what it means to belong and believe in the Salvation Army. And it was a fantastic weekend. What a wonderful spirit of hope and unity and care for one another. That's certainly how I experienced it. And I was deeply moved by some of the things that happened. And I think it's fair to say that a number of us who were there would say to you that what sticks in our minds are the times when people told stories of when the rules had superseded kindness. When the rules about uniform, the rules about belonging to sections, the rules about the things that we do in the Salvation Army, rules that were formed with a godly heart, rules that came in for good purposes. But moments when those rules were chosen over kindness. And there were a couple of stories where you could hear a collective intake of breath in the room because we all knew instinctively that sticking to that rule meant that somehow kindness had been left behind. The rules aren't necessarily bad, but sticking to them at the expense of kindness is not a thing Jesus seems to be in favour of. The Samaritan touched the man without any concern for any religious purity laws. He touched the man. And the third way in which he expressed that kindness was in his lavish giving. There's something about kindness, isn't there, that is lavish. Kindness is not, it's not something that feels meagre. Or when somebody gives you the bare minimum, you don't generally say, oh, that's kind. It's when you feel like you've been given a bit more than you expected, isn't it? Oh, thank you, that's kind. It's the cup of tea that you didn't think the person had time to make you, but they did, and they bring it to you. It's the person who helps you out in a situation where you're clearly a bit overstretched. Maybe you're carrying too many bags and somebody comes and grabs a bag. Oh, that's kind. It's when people do things they don't have to do. We are kind when we do things not because it's the rule to do them or because it serves us to do them, but when we do them out of sheer generosity. And parents know all about that. On Mother's Day, if you are a mother, I expect there have been many times when you have extended kindness, when you've done something for your kids, not because they deserve it or because you've got time for it or because it serves you, but because it is an expression of your love. The Samaritan was kind in giving, giving oil and wine, costly substances which brought healing properties. They had anti-inflammatory properties and antiseptic properties and anaesthetic properties, all the healing stuff in the goodness of those substances. And it would have been a costly thing to do, but he did it without even thinking. And then he took the man to a place of safety and paid for his ongoing care. That is above and beyond, and that is kindness. What will it look like for you and me to be kind this week? What do we need to be aware of in order to extend kindness to other people? Do we need to make sure that we're not rushing so much that we haven't got room for it, so we've got time to stop? Do we need to make sure that we're not rule-bound? We're not so rule-bound that we can't go beyond and meet people at their place of need? Do we need to make sure we can touch people? Do we need to trust God to be lavish? Being lavish is tricky. If you don't know if you've got enough for yourself, then it's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult to give lavishly to another person. But it draws me back to some of the stuff that we were talking about last week, the story of Hope, the story of the widow and her oil. And she was pouring out oil she almost didn't have. She had to pour out those last drops of oil. She had to effectively lose them, as it were, in order to access the abundance of God. And kindness is definitely an act of faith. To say, I don't know if I can afford this. Maybe the Samaritan said to himself, I don't know if I can afford to fund this guy's ongoing care. Who knows how long he's going to be there? Maybe he's going to need a lot of care. Have I got enough money? Maybe the Samaritan wasn't sure. But it was an act of faith to be kind and an act of trust in a God who is always and ever kinder than we are. Every time you are kind this week, remember that that's a drop in the ocean compared to the kindness that God pours out on your life and on mine.
Deeply stained within. empty life to fill.
Gracious God, forgive us when we leave no time or space for kindness, when our own overpacked agenda causes us to rush on past the one who most needs our time, when we hesitate to touch another person's life because we feel embarrassed or judged. By your grace, help us to open our hearts to your compassion, letting it fill us, letting it draw us towards those in need of help. Lord, we want to be those who reflect your loving kindness in all we do. Keep us alert to the prompting of your Spirit, that we might notice those who need our care. Renew in us a love that leaps the hurdles of awkwardness, rules, people-pleasing, that we might touch those who others won't touch. Grow in us a generous spirit, that we might become ever more lavish in our kindness. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Our thanks go to Lyndall for bringing God's word to us today, and thank you for listening. Don't forget, if you would still like to give to this year's self-denial appeal, then please visit salvationist.org.uk, where you can give online. Thank you, goodbye, and God bless.